Some of the other things on the stage that are important this morning too are these blocks that remind us that we have entered into a new series for the next few weeks, talking about our new hot off the assembly line core values. What's central at Central? And we introduced these last week. If you missed, I want to give you a quick review. These are the non-negotiable, we would die for these things that drive us. That means when it comes down to decision making, these are the values that rise to the top. All right? And here they are again in the order that we're going to be presenting them and remembering them. We follow biblical authority. We teach to transform. We make disciples. We pray constantly. We are conduits of God's blessings, and we value people. We're talking today about the teaching that we engage in through the Lord's Church at Central and what we expect that to accomplish. In other words, we teach to transform. That's where we're going. That builds on what we looked at last week, because this is all about the truth that resides in God's Word. We believe that Word is living and active and powerful, and that it's relevant to every age and culture. In fact, there's something I didn't turn us to last week. I'd like you to listen to what God says about His Word. Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 10. Listen to what God says. By the way, this is very fitting for today if you look outside. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That is what God says about His Word. Ultimately, God's Word is going to do what God wants His Word to do. Now, our job is to deliver that, and we can do a good job of that, or we can do a lousy job of that. The Word of God is going to do its part, and then the change part is up to every one of us as we listen to it, and we decide if we're going to allow that Word to change us or not. What we're looking at today isn't just up to me, in other words, or up to the rest of the staff or our elders or our Sunday school teachers or the people who write books, the people who produce instructional videos. We all have a part in this. Amen? We all have a role in this. It's not up to Christian bookstores, by the way. Let me share something this morning. I ran across this yesterday. An article by a guy who spent over a decade working at Lifeway Christian Stores. He had collected the most interesting requests that he heard as a Christian bookstore manager. All right? Just picture that. You're a Christian bookstore manager. In 10 years' time or better, what kind of things do people ask? Here were some he ran into. He said someone came in and said, "Do you sell plastic flies?" Plastic flies. He said it was a children's leader going to be teaching from the story of Exodus. He checked their plague section. They didn't have them. All right. Someone said, "Do you provide mammograms?" This customer was really trying to figure out, he said, if we monogrammed Bibles. Got the wrong word. Another customer said, "Can you help me find the movie The Shining?" Oops, meant to say The Shunning. So instead of requesting a film about an Amish girl engaged to the town bishop, this customer was asking about a psychological thriller about a homicidal maniac haunting down his family in a vacant motel, right? That's one vowel's difference. This person came in and said, "Do you have a clergy shirt for a size 38-inch neck?" Well, that'd be about the size of your average pizza, all right? That's a big neck. Turns out they meant 18 inches. Someone came in and said, "Where are your books containing actual photographs of the characters of the Bible?" There's no answer for that one. Just Here's a person asked, do you sell a book about end times prophecy that tells me how much toilet paper to stockpile? Well, face it, the last thing that you want to be dealing with during Armageddon is having to make a late night northern run, right? Here's one, he says, and he's first person, he says, me, would you like to receive our coupons via email? The customer said, no, I don't use email. Could you send them with Gmail instead? He just said, no problem, okay. Not everybody who walks into a Christian bookstore is walking in there because they want to have their lives transformed. In fact, if you've been in Christian bookstores, not everything they're selling in Christian bookstores is to transform lives, is it? I'm also going to stick my neck out today and guess that not every person who walks into the church building is looking for life transformation. I want today for us to see together how that's exactly what we ought to be pursuing, though, in this wonderful body that we call the church. In the book of Romans, Paul takes the first two-thirds of that letter and writes some important truths, life-changing truth there. He lays that all down, the kind that should lead to transformation. And then he says, we call it chapter 12, verse 1, these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Note that word. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We're going to talk about change today. And frankly, change is something that most of us are challenged by. It's not just for babies. It's for every person who's interested in following Jesus. It's one of the core values that we have at Central, that lives will be transformed by the teaching of God's true word. But let's be honest, change isn't always easy to accept, is it? History bears this out. In fact, over the years, there have been some people who resisted change, who really struggled with the idea that things might change. For instance, in 1859, here's a quote, "Drill for oil? You mean drill into the ground to find oil? You're crazy." That's what the employees of Edwin Drake said before his first oil well near Titusville, Pennsylvania. Here's one from 1899. "Everything that can be invented has been invented." 1899. And that from Charles H. Duell, the U.S. Commissioner of Patents, said that. Here's one, 1903, "The horse is here to stay, but the automobile is only a novelty, a fad." Now that was some advice from the president of the Michigan Savings Bank to Henry Ford's lawyer, Horace Rackham, about investing in the Ford Motor Company. "Don't do that," he said. 1943, here you go, "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." Thomas Watson, the president of IBM, said that. 1954, here's a good one, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck." That was the Grand Ole Opry's Jim Denny to a guy named Elvis Presley. 1974, "It will be years, not in my time, before a woman will become prime minister." That was Margaret Thatcher, 5 years before she became prime minister in Great Britain. 1977, "There's no need for any individual to have a computer in their home." Ken Olson, president of Digital Equipment Corporation. 1981, here you go, computer buffs. 640K ought to be enough computer memory for anybody. Bill Gates said that, founder of Microsoft. All right, here's the deal. Most of us don't like change. Can I get a uh-huh? I used to think this was something that was limited to old people. No, especially now since I'm getting there. No. It's true that as we get older, there are things we wish didn't change. I can testify to that. We wish our eyesight didn't go bad. We wish that our hearing did not go bad. I'm getting some nods out there. We wish the joints didn't ache, right? We don't like those things. They get worse, and we wish they didn't change. Yeah, old people wish things didn't change, but you know what? Kids wish things didn't change too. In fact, very little kids have a hard time with change. So do big kids. We all struggle with change. We find it generally uncomfortable. It's not easy. Here's the other deal. Being in Christ, following Jesus, is all about change. Think about it. I'm going to go one further. You can't refuse to change and be a follower of Jesus. Not for one day. From the day it first started, the church has been changing people constantly, and that stands to reason because I find that change is the essence of Christianity, and I want to show you some ways that that is very true this morning. And it's why we have as a core value at Central that lives will be transformed by teaching the truth. One reason change is necessary is because we've got to become different from the world. We must become different from the world. When Paul said that we need not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed, he used the word where our word metamorphosis comes from. It really reads like this: do not be fashioned after this age, be metamorphosized by the making new of your mind. Now that's the word metamorphosis that we use to describe what a gnarly, fuzzy worm makes a chrysalis around itself and is changed into a beautiful butterfly. Two caterpillars are walking along a twig, I heard, and a butterfly went flying overhead. They watched it go by. One looked at the other and said, "Man, you'll never get me up in one of those things." Folks, we're supposed to get up in one of those things. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10. "I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of the world." In other words, we don't. Literally, he said, we don't walk according to the flesh. We live by something higher. The way that we who follow Jesus gauge peace and security and happiness and beauty and success, those things are by a higher standard than what the world has. So Paul says, we're not to conform to this world. Fitting in doesn't fit with what it means to be a Christian. Being in, well, that's necessary, but fitting in, nope. We really need to think this through as people who have been called by Christ to stand out and shine like stars in a crooked and depraved generation. That's what they called us. That's what Paul calls us. How would you work so hard? Why would you work so hard to fit into some place where our greatest hope, our greatest ambition, our greatest joy, and the greatest promise of Scripture is that we're going to get out of it? Why would we work hard to fit into it? Accepting Jesus means accepting change from what this world says we're supposed to be. All right, so we're called to be different from the world. Amen? Different. Not only should we stand out as people who are swimming against the current of our culture, but we're also supposed to be different from ourselves, the way that we were yesterday. We're to be different from ourselves. Let me talk to those of you who are here this morning who never needed to change ever for a moment. Let me just talk to you. If you grew up in a Christian home, for instance, I did, and if you're one of those people who grew up in a Christian home, you are a real deprived person. How unfair. How sad. You became a Christian, and for you, it really wasn't a big change. You don't have this story about how you used to be addicted to drugs, or how you were involved in sex on every corner, or how you were into Satan worship. I mean, if you had a past like that, then you could really tell about the way that coming to follow Jesus meant a great big change in your life. And That's not yours. Last, poor, boring you. It's just this story about the way you grew up kind of normal and were a pretty good kid. And then one day at church camp or CIY or some event at church or just on some Sunday morning maybe, you were baptized into Christ. No fireworks, no cool story. Poor you. I'm saying that tongue in cheek, by the way. First of all, you, before you accepted Christ, where were you? Glad you asked that. Let me answer it for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to what Paul says about himself and about those he's writing to. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Now, before you started to follow Jesus, was that you? Nod your head yes. It was all of us, he says, wasn't it? That's where we were. Regardless of how lost you were lost. Regardless of how dead you were dead. So I'd call that first change in your life, no matter who you are, a pretty big change, wouldn't you? And even if you're one of those people who didn't change a whole bunch, it's still a very cool story. But now what? Now you are where you're at. Here's the neat thing. All of us are still in the process of being changed if we're truly in Christ. Let me point you to your Bible here at this point. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. Three different chapters in 2 Corinthians, three different verses that we're going to look at. The first one's in chapter 3, then 4, then 5. 1 Corinthians 3:18, listen to what it says. We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being, what's it say? Are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We all are being transformed. Chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed. Day by day. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Praise God for that. You see, it doesn't matter how dirty or how squeaky clean you think your past was. If you're living life in Jesus, you are constantly being changed by Him. No matter where you're at right now, there is always in your life another level of growth for you to grow up to. It's time to change again. So being in Christ is all about change. And I'm going to go one further, and that is that you can't refuse to change and be a follower of Jesus. Not even for a day. The teaching of God's word is to make you different from the world. It's to make you different from what you were yesterday. Here's one more thing. It's to make us different, different from what you will be. Here is some good news this morning. Here is some really good news. Everything about this world that bums me out, everything about this world that disappoints me and frustrates me, everything about myself that I wish was better, everything about everyone around me that I wish was better, everything about this world that makes me feel stuck and wanting something else, I have an escape plan from that. And it's not just heaven, like you might have thought I was going to say. It's something else. 1 Corinthians 15, here is what it is. Verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. I'm going to be changed. I can handle things about myself that bother me because God's not done with me yet. I'm going to be changed. You know what? I can even handle some of the things about you that I don't like. Because God's going to change you. You're not done yet. John said, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." We're going to be changed. Change can be hard, but you know there are some changes that I would welcome right away. Aren't you glad that there's some change coming? I am. So, what is it as we are being changed by the Lord and as we go through all of this change, as we hear the truth taught and it transforms our lives, what should we expect the people who are outside of the church looking in, what should we expect them to say about us, the followers of Jesus? Well, in a lot of ways, they're saying what we deserve to hear. They're just like everyone else. You know what? They said that about Christians in the first century, too. They looked in on Christians, and that's what they said. They're just like everyone else, except they love each other. Except they don't kill their unwanted children. Except they are faithful in their marriages. Except they forgive those who wrong them. Except they are honest in their dealings with people. Except they treat everyone, slave or free, as if they have value. Except they don't seem bound to their possessions. Yeah, they're just like everyone else, except for those things. That's what they said in the first century. One of the ways I wish that we could be like the first century church is by what non-believers say about us. Because those believers there were noted for the way they didn't conform to the world around them. Even though they were living right in the thick of it, they didn't conform to it. So at Central Christian Church, we teach God's truth, and we teach it in an effort to see lives transformed. Because following Jesus is all about change. Jesus didn't invite us to just come fit into the world around us. He invited us not to be conformed to it, but to be transformed, to be metamorphosized, to be changed. Said earlier, a lot of people maybe, don't walk into the church building anticipating transformed life. That's not why they come in, but it might be that you hear something from God's word today that helps you understand that's what needs to happen. Your life needs to be transformed. You need to begin a new life in Jesus. We hope that you'll make that decision today. Our time of worship is drawing to a close. This time is the time that we really, the rubber hits the road here. We decide now, what are we going to do with what we have experienced here today and what we have heard in God's word? What are we going to do about it? Because just hearing it and nodding it, maybe saying amen or something like that, and then walking away like nothing has happened, isn't what it's about. We're here to see our lives changed by the truth of God's word. And if that's you today, starting a relationship with Jesus is where that begins. That would be the next step you need to take if you haven't ever accepted Jesus. So starting at this point until we are leaving here today is an appropriate time for you to come down here to the front and say, today I want to learn about or I want to become a Christian and follow Jesus. What do I do? We'd love to teach you from God's Word how to do that. Maybe you already know. It's not a great mystery. In fact, when in the very first day of the church, when people asked, what do I do? The very first word that was given to them was repent, which means change, turn around. And today, we're inviting you to do that, to repent, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, to receive the gift of His Holy Spirit in your life, and let God start transforming you. Maybe you made that decision some time back and you understood that accepting Jesus was the first step, the thing that you needed to do. But I've heard a lot of people over the years talk about that like it was going down to Walmart getting a flu shot. You know, oh, I got saved. Well, that's great. That was the thing to do, but that was the beginning. That was the start of your relationship with Jesus. Yes, your sins were forgiven. Yes, you passed over from death to life. That's great. Is God still changing you? Should be. And if you've jumped off that train, you need to get back on. And today would be a good time as you stand here before the Lord to have a heart-to-heart with Him about whether or not this transformation is still taking place in your life. Let's stand up together. We're going to have a prayer together. We're going to sing a song here. We're going to get ready to go. And I'll be here at the front today. Anytime that you're comfortable just coming down here to the front, we're inviting you to come down here. And we'd be glad to share with this group of people, too, if you've got a decision to make for the Lord today. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that Your Word is truth, just like Jesus said it was. We're thankful that it's not just something that we can know and agree to and be intellectual about, but something that reaches deep inside of us to change us. Forgive us for the times that we resist that. God, I confess to You that it's not easy always to allow things to be different from the way they have been. But I pray for each of us today that we'll be honest with You. Where there are things about us that need to be changed, we're inviting You right now to be at work. We're inviting Your Spirit to convict us and to give us the power to do the things that we ought, to get rid of the things that don't belong in our lives, to fill us up with the things that we need to be full of. Now, Father, there are some here today who need to take that very first step, beginning a relationship with You, that first change. I pray that You'll be at work on all of our hearts right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.